Hi, this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. We're on LI News Radio, and I'm talking to E.J. McMahon. And what's the name of the organization that you represent, E.J.?
It's the Empire Center for Public Policy. It's a tax-exempt 501c3 think tank, and we're based in Albany, New York.
Now, if you had to give your elevator speech and tell me what you do, how would that go?
What our role is to educate and inform New Yorkers about the facts surrounding state and local government issues and the things that basically affect the setting in which you live and how much it costs you.
Now, you'd be very involved with tax policy, for example.
Yes. Yep.
Is that is the main issue, isn't it?
Well, it's not. It is certainly one of the main issues, yes. Everything else kind of ultimately ends up costing you money, and you pay it through taxes, mainly.
Okay. One of the things that I hosted a meeting the other day between Mike Fitzpatrick, and Steve Levy, and they were talking about the excesses in government, about how we calculate pensions, for example, and how onerous that becomes and unsustainable. Is that one of your issues as well?
Oh, yes, very much so. I mean, public employees, state and local government employees across the country, in most states, including New York, are really the last large group of workers in the country who receive what are called defined benefit pensions. A defined benefit pension, well, we give you an example of what a defined benefit pension is. Social Security is a defined benefit, meaning once you retire, you get a fixed amount of money based on how much you earned. It's indexed to go up a bit with inflation, and it's a fixed benefit. The government is committed to paying you. Well, government employees get, in addition to Social Security, get a pension, which is a defined benefit. They don't save any money themselves. They contribute usually a pretty small amount, if anything, every year into a state pension fund. And the pension fund is responsible for making good on the retirement benefit the employee has been promised. And those benefits, which are guaranteed by the state constitution, they cannot be diminished or impaired in any way.
Even if you go to jail.
No, right. For all state legislators elected before the late 1990s, you get that pension even if, as you said, you get convicted of a crime and go to jail. And those benefits, it's not just the existence of the benefit. The thing most people, I think even today, most of the public doesn't really understand just how generous public pension benefits are. Keep in mind, for instance, say a school teacher, and in Long Island, a typical school teacher retires earning over $100,000 a year, usually $120,000, $130,000. That school teacher, upon retirement, let's say he or she retires, they're the rare teacher that actually waits until they're 65 to retire. Most teachers retire before they're 59 or 60. But let's say their teacher retires at Social Security age. Well, the next day they begin collecting 60% to 70% of their final average salary. In the case of a typical Long Island teacher, it might be $80,000 or more a year. And then in addition to that, they get Social Security benefits.
Mm-hmm. And that's PW at the top of the scale, too.
Right. So basically, there are some people in government, depending on the timing of their retirements, who the first day after they retire, their net income is higher than it was when they were working.
Yeah.
Between their pension and their Social Security benefit.
Well, one of the things that Steve Levy pointed out is that you could accrue tons and tons of overtime, and that would be figured into your final year as part of your pension. And that could result in twice as much pension than you had in salary.
Oh, yes. Well, that's the case with the employee, the best paid group of employees who actually are eligible for overtime, because, you know, people like teachers and clerical workers generally are not, but police and firefighters, and in Long Island, we'd be talking overwhelmingly about police, they get overtime. In fact, police union contracts are actually designed to generate a lot of overtime, to trigger overtime, you know, in all sorts of situations. And generally, the most senior police officers, and you can retire after 20 to 25 years, depending on which system you're in, but you're basically still in your 40s. You're approaching your retirement with full pension, and then you use your seniority to take extra shifts and to build up your overtime so that when you retire, your pension is based on your salary plus all of your overtime and any other extras you earn. For instance, you may have earned time.
One of the things that Steve wanted to see happen is that none of the overtime is figured into the final calculations.
Right.
So that let's suppose you were making $125,000, and your pension was going to wind up being $95,000. Well, that's what you'd get. You wouldn't get anything layered on top of that.
Well, police pension would generally, for police, a police pension is usually 50% of final average salary. But yes, you could be a police officer making $110,000, $120,000. And what Steve's idea is making an excellent point. It's a very good idea that we should simply stipulate that your pension has to be based only on your base salary, not on overtime or any other extras you got, like working a holiday. And if you did that, instead of having a pension, because you might be somebody whose base salary on retirement is $110,000 or $120,000, but with your overtime, it's more like $140,000 or $150,000. Well, you get basically 50% of that overtime becomes part of your permanent pension that you earn for the rest of your life, which could be 40 years or so.
Because you can retire at, what, 42, 43?
Well, you can retire. If you've got a 20-year plan, you could be 43 when you retire.
Yeah.
And of course, most police who retire in their 40s, they don't, you know, settle down and do nothing. They work
They start a contracting company.
They start a contracting business. They open a bar. They become maybe a police officer in Florida. They do all sorts of things. They go into security work. They become a DA investigator and go back on another government payroll. But whatever they do, they're making something in addition to their pension, which is quite generous to begin with. Plus, here's another thing we can get into if you want, Ernie, is they get their health insurance coverage continues after they're retired. So what could be better than being someone in midlife? The biggest thing all of us fear when we're in midlife or later in life is that we're going to lose our job, and our biggest problem is
we're going to lose our benefits.
Right. Maybe we have enough friends and contacts and skills so that we can figure out a way to get some income in the door, but our fear is losing our benefits.
Yeah.
Well, they basically begin their second life with a set of benefits sitting there.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty good deal. And it's very expensive because our local governments do not save money, put money aside to pay for the health benefits. They pay it on what's called a pay-go basis. So
now,
they
wait
promise
a minute. Doesn't DiNapoli oversee the pension fund for the?
Yes, that's pensions. But retiree health care is not paid out of the pension fund.
Oh, so that's
so right
that
now,
that's current taxation.
Right. It's current compensation. So part of what you're paying, the police officer who patrols your neighborhood in Long Island now, part of what you're paying him or her is the promise that when that officer retires, you know, he's going to get health insurance. Well, the promise of that health insurance is basically what you're paying him now. Well, guess what? You're promising it to him now, but you get to blow out of town and retire to North Carolina and leave somebody else holding the bag to pay his retirement because you're not putting any money aside. Whereas the pension, as we were just discussing, the big fund DiNapoli is in charge of, that is like a big bank, and that you have to put money in there so it will be there to cover your retirement in the future. But the retiree health care, there's no money put aside. It's just paid when it comes due. So you're basically pushing a cost down the road all the time.
Well, you know, I know this is a little bit far afield, but one of the things that Bernie Sanders wants to do is create universal health care. In other words, paid really an extension of Medicare all the way down to everybody.
Right.
Wouldn't that alleviate some of that burden?
No, because, for instance, it would alleviate some of it because, for instance, if you could do it affordably, which many, many analysts who've looked at Bernie's plan left, right, and center have said is like ridiculously expensive and could never, ever be done. But if you could theoretically do it...
Well, maybe we could cancel one aircraft carrier every 10 years.
Well, if let's say you could theoretically do it. That would cut that expense if you thought members of the police union would settle for whatever the government plan was. The answer is they wouldn't. For instance, now, in retirement, we talked about police officers are an extreme example because, hey, police officers retire early. And, look, we don't want, you know, 68-year-old police officers necessarily either. But so we have a tradition of having letting people retire when they're in middle age so that you don't have sort of gimpy aging police officers. But when they reach Medicare age, these people who have retirement health care, contrary to what you might think, it's not like we no longer have to pay for insurance for them. Their insurance...
EJ, I'm going to have to interrupt you because we're going to come into the end of this segment, but we're going to continue this conversation after the break. This is Ernie Fazio. I'm talking to EJ McMahon, and we'll be back in a moment.